Truly a wonderful blessing to be able to be here this morning, to be able to worship our God and Father in heaven on the first day of the week, just as the disciples did in the first century. It's wonderful that we have the opportunity to come before the table of our Lord and to remember Him this morning and His sacrifice and life that He lived and His resurrection and proclaim that He will come again. And we look forward to that day. As we strive here in this earth to do the best we can, it is to be Christ-like that is our goal. We remember our Lord and Savior and the great examples that He gave to us in the Scriptures. And so our hope this morning is that we can endeavor to learn more about developing a Christ-like character. Our reading will come from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. The scripture reads, "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail, or never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Barring any errors on my part, that's the reading of our scripture this morning. It's our desire to study about developing a Christ-like character. And this morning, we'd like to focus on what Peter meant when he talked about growing in the knowledge of Christ. Before we go further, we have an opportunity to go to our God in a word of prayer. So at this time, let us humble ourselves as the brother leads us. This second epistle of Peter is certainly a poignant letter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 and 14 show it was written with an awareness that his death was imminent. The scripture reads, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me." 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 is a warning that false teachers would seek to lead them astray. The scripture reads, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon them upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." And 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, show it was written with a hope that they would be mindful of the commandments given to them by the apostles of Jesus Christ. The scripture reads, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 gives the final command this aged apostle leaves his readers as a charge to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does it mean to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? How can we be sure that we are growing in this knowledge? With this lesson, we want to define what Peter had in mind when he gave us his final charge, and to encourage growth and development in this knowledge of Jesus Christ. We are not left to wonder what Peter had in mind, for in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, that we read earlier, we learn about developing a Christ-like character. First, let's look at what it means to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ and develop this Christ-like character. The scripture tells us of 8 things we need to develop in order to grow in this knowledge. Sometimes people call these things graces. I'm not sure why they are called this. Grace, from the point of view of the scriptures, is unmerited favor of God. That is, something that is a gift from God. The scripture simply calls these things and tells us that we, not God, are responsible for them and must be diligent in them. Better, these might be called Christian attributes, qualities, or characteristics, things which should be evident in a Christian's life. In verse 5, it reads, "And besides this, giving all diligence, and to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." At another time, we'll strive to delve into more of these through their definitions. But briefly described, faith is a firm persuasion, a strong assurance, a conviction based upon hearing. Virtue is moral excellence, goodness. Knowledge is correct insight, recognition, and understanding. Temperance is self-control and the discipline of one's own emotions, words, and deeds. Patience is persevering endurance and bearing up under trial. Godliness is having a godly character out of devotion to God. Brotherly kindness is love and affection toward our brothers and sisters in Christ. And charity is active love and service toward others. The scripture tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, that we must abound in these 8 things. Only then can it be said that we are growing in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is more than simply increasing our intellectual knowledge of Jesus. Such knowledge has a place, but it is just one of the things necessary. Peter is talking about growing in a fuller and a more personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. This is a knowledge which comes by developing the Christ-like attributes listed in this passage. And the more we grow in these characteristics, the more we really know Jesus. For he is the perfect personification of these attributes. That it involves more than intellectual knowledge or just book learning is also evident from the Greek word used for knowledge in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 8. The word is epignosis, meaning to become thoroughly acquainted with, to know thoroughly, to know accurately, know well. Such knowledge comes only as we demonstrate these Christ-like attributes in our lives. Now we're going to notice we find these attributes are connected with each other. In a sense, they are chained together. Notice the word "add" in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Although it is only mentioned once, it is implied before each attribute mentioned. The word in Greek is epikoreigio, which originally meant to found and support a chorus all the way through to the production. Later it became simply to mean supply or provide. This word suggests the idea of each attribute working in harmony with the others to produce an overall effect. Notice also this little preposition in our passage, the word "to," in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This implies each attribute is to temper and make perfect the characteristic that goes before it. To illustrate this point, to knowledge, add temperance. The attribute of temperance enables one to apply properly the knowledge one has. To temperance, add patience. Temperance, in turn, needs the quality of patience to be consistent day after day in the Christian life. Therefore, each quality is necessary. They must all be developed in conjunction with each other. We cannot be selective and just pick the ones we like and leave the others behind. Next, notice the repeated use of the word "diligence" in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 and 10. This word means earnestness, zeal, sometimes with haste. To grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ requires much effort on our part. We do not accidentally or naturally develop these attributes. These qualities are not to be confused with talents or abilities, which are God-given in some measure. These attributes require practice, work, and improving exercise to develop, much like the physical body. Imagine you have a goal to complete a marathon. You say to yourself, "I will practice every day for a year, and after that full year, I will be able to complete a marathon." So you faithfully fulfill the goal you set for yourself, day by day practicing, working, and exercising. At the end of the year, you enter your chosen race. When the race begins, you're off to a wonderful start. You feel the exhilaration of the work you have put in, fueling your run. And maybe you pass a few people as well. Your first mile flies by like a breeze. Your second mile isn't too bad at all. However, by the end of your third mile, you begin to wonder what's wrong. You don't even make it to the end of your fourth mile before you need to walk and you decide you won't be able to finish the race. The next day, your friend asks you what happened. As you tell him how you prepared for a whole year, he finally understands exactly what happened. You see, though you had practiced for a full year, every day, indeed very diligently, you only ran a mile a day. You didn't improve your exercise regimen to really prepare your body for that marathon. Likewise, we may have been Christians for a number of years, but unless we add to our faith these Christ-like qualities with all diligence, we are simply repeating the first year over and over again. We have not prepared our spiritual bodies properly to run the race God has given us. Is the effort worth it? In the context of our passage, Peter provides five reasons why we should give all diligence to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. First, he tells us that something can be multiplied to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2, the scripture reads, "Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Grace and peace, we find, are common forms of greeting in the New Testament. Grace is a greeting which requests God's unmerited favor upon the person addressed. Peace is a greeting requesting the natural result of God's favor upon the person addressed, a life of spiritual peace. Note that these two blessings are multiplied in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 44 and 45, we learn that all mankind experiences God's favor and its result to some degree. The scripture reads, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." But only in Christ can one enjoy the fullness of God's favor and peace. Paul tells of this in the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 3. The scripture reads, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Also, Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, explains to us about the blessing of peace that passeth all understanding. The scripture reads, "Be careful for nothing, for in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." If we desire God's grace and peace to be multiplied in our life, it is found through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That is, understanding and becoming more like Him. Second, Peter tells us that something can be provided to us. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, we note that God provides all things pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. Life in this context refers to our spiritual life and well-being, the focus of New Testament Scripture. Godliness refers to the characteristics of God, which are manifest in our conduct out of our devotion to God. Only when we grow in this knowledge do we enjoy the true, full spiritual life available by God's divine power. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 tells us that this knowledge does three things. It includes exceeding great and precious promises. It enables us to be partakers of the divine nature. It can help us escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. If we desire to have all that God offers related to life and godliness, it comes as we develop the Christ-like character through knowledge of Him. Third, Peter tells us that something can be avoided. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, we are warned that if we are not careful, we can have a spiritual life of blindness, short-sightedness, and forgetfulness. The scripture reads, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Our spiritual life is what is blinded and short-sighted if we are not growing in the knowledge of Jesus. We may ask ourselves, what is the ultimate objective of being a Christian? Isn't it to become like Christ? In the letter to Romans, chapter 8, verse 29, we learn we are to be conformed to His image. The scripture reads, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren." Also in the letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, we learn that being conformed to His image means the former divisions mankind has for himself have been torn down. The scripture reads, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all." As we have seen, this is what it really means to grow in the knowledge of Christ. Failure to do so, to grow, indicates we have forgotten why we were redeemed by the blood of Christ in the first place. Yes, we were redeemed to have our sins forgiven, but also to become what our God wants us to be, like His Son. Unless we want to be found guilty of a spiritual life of blindness, short-sightedness, and forgetfulness, we need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Fourth, Peter tells us there is something we will never do. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, he encourages making our calling and election sure. The scripture reads, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall." If we are diligent to make our calling and election sure, if we add to our faith the attributes a Christian should have, if we abound in these qualities, Peter makes an amazing claim. He says we shall never fall. Other translations say we shall never stumble. Please note, I do not believe that this means that we will never sin. The Apostle John, in his first letter, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, warns against saying we have no sin. The scripture reads, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." The word translated fall in Greek means to stumble or trip up. Figuratively, it can mean to offend. The idea is that we will be protected from being tripped up or caused to stumble, especially so as to fall short of our ultimate salvation. But this assurance is true only if we give all diligence to grow in the knowledge of Christ and thereby making our calling and election sure. Finally, Peter tells us we will have something abundantly. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11, we are given a promise. The scripture reads, "For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Paul refers to this as the heavenly kingdom in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. In other words, This is the ultimate destiny of the redeemed of mankind. An abundant entrance is promised. This is not an entrance whereby we will obtain it by the skin of our teeth, but rather, as it were, in the fullness of triumph and victory. By possessing the 8 qualities mentioned, we will be able to live victoriously in this life and joyously anticipate what lies ahead in the heavenly kingdom. Paul said in verse 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 4, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." In conclusion this morning, we must ask ourselves then, are these not sufficient reasons to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? For through such knowledge, grace and peace are multiplied. All things pertaining to life and godliness are provided. Spiritual blindness, nearsightedness, and forgetfulness are avoided. We will never stumble in an abundant entrance into the everlasting kingdom will be ours. Because such knowledge requires the development of these 8 qualities, in conjunction with each other, with all diligence, we trust we will agree that a careful study of these 8 attributes which lead to developing a Christ-like character is worth the effort, and we hope to pursue that opportunity in the future. Jesus Christ once gave an invitation, and it is our custom at this congregation at this time also to convey this invitation. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus Christ said to those who were around him and listening to him, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." In this passage, Jesus talked about learning of him. And when Jesus gave that great commission to the apostles, which has been conveyed to us down through time, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he said, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations." What were they to teach? They were to teach about him, about Christ, about the Savior. He continued on and said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." And then he said, after they've been baptized, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This great invitation and this great commission, I believe, was something that Jesus loved, and something that he wanted all of us, if we are not a Christian, we need to avail ourselves of that invitation to take his yoke upon him, to learn of him. If we are a Christian, then we need to take upon ourselves that great commission to teach others and to live like Him, to be more Christ-like in our endeavor in this life. Whether we are not a Christian this morning or whether we are a Christian, we need to strive and be diligent to be more Christ-like in our living here in this earth. So if you aren't a Christian this morning, then we invite you to come forward and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because until that happens, you are in your sins. And if you're in your sins, then God cannot accept you into His kingdom. This is a simple truth. And so, those of us who are Christians this morning invite you to avail yourself of the invitation that Jesus Christ gave and to come to Him, to learn of Him, to take His yoke upon you and put aside the burdens that you have in this life. If you are a Christian this morning, then as we read earlier, that if we confess our sins before Him, then He is just and faithful to forgive us of them. And so if we need to do that this morning and become more Christ-like, then we also invite you to come forward, and we would love to pray for you at this time. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?